We had two 2.4 AMD processors, 4 gigs of RAM, a terabyte RAID array of hard disk space, flat screens, high-powered graphics cards, a whole galaxy of multicolored LED lights. Also, a quart of cooling liquid, dual-wear DVD burners, and a gigabyte of RAM. Not that we need it at all for the show, but once you get locked into a serious hardware collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can.
Hello! You are listening to Hackamoto Radio on the 6th of April 2006. This is the Drum and Bass Hour! No, I'm just kidding.
God help us.
How is things going, sirs?
Who, me?
Yes, you!
Ain't gone on no plane. Yeah, not bad.
Crazy fool!
Crazy fool! Yeah, things are going good, mate. How about yourself?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. Bit cold. Feel like I'm going to get the bird flu, but yeah, not bad.
Did you guys do a show last night? Because I wasn't around.
We did, yeah, yeah.
Jolly good.
Yeah.
I shall download it and enjoy it at my earliest convenience.
Yes, which will be sometime in the next 7 years.
Yes. Between now and the day I die, possibly. yeah, sorry I wasn't around last night. I had major NVIDIA trouble.
Right.
Bought a new graphics card because of Oblivion.
Yeah.
It finally arrived yesterday. Ran home like a giddy little schoolgirl to get it installed. I'm giddy. Then spent 4 hours on the verge of tears because it wouldn't work.
Aww.
That's why I missed the show, because I had 4-bit colour on my desktop while it set.
That must have been fun.
Oh, it was like going back to the Amiga days. Yeah. It was fun for about 10 minutes, you know. It's like, oh, I remember when computers really looked like this.
Yeah.
And then, hang on, I didn't pay £200 to take a trip down memory lane.
Exactly. I didn't pay £200 to have a screen size of 6 pixels.
Oh, dear. Eventually got it working by accident.
Yeah.
Which is often the way it goes.
Yeah.
Tried everything by the book, and then lost interest and started trying random things, and I did something good. I can't really remember what it was. I was trying so many different things all at the same time, and it just went, yeah!
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't
there. It doesn't fuck up again.
Mm.
Yeah.
Too right. That's one of the reasons before this show, none of the audio equipment was working.
Yeah.
Because in my desperation, I turned to the Microsoft troubleshooter,
yeah,
where it said, you've got a problem with this device, and Microsoft troubleshooter will help you find it.
Mm.
Yeah, of course it did. It basically told me the graphics card was conflicting with another device.
Right.
Now,
well, like the computer. The graphics card is conflicting everything with your computer.
Yeah, you can have one or the other, but yeah, not both. But no other devices were reporting a conflict, so I went through all the troubleshooting, and right at the end of it says, I can't help you. I don't know, mate.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah, you're on your own, pal.
Yeah.
Try disabling anything that you don't need.
Yeah.
So I went through and started disabling everything
fuck
one by
screen,
one.
Fuck the screen, don't need the screen.
Yeah,
oh, fuck, wait.
Don't need the keyboard. How am I going to log in? So I disabled both the sound cards and forgot to turn them back on. Oh, dear. You're listening to the new Bauer on Hacker Voice Radio.
Yeah. Sorry, we couldn't hear that. You disabled your speakers.
I've disabled pretty much everything, but it is working now. And, mm, by the way, listeners, if you are playing Oblivion and you've got a damn good graphics card, you're very lucky. It looks gorgeous.
So, what's the graphics like? I mean, what's the gameplay like?
The gameplay is kind of... the best way I can describe it is like a first-person role-playing game.
Yeah.
So, you're seeing through the eyes of this... medieval what's it, you know, you can be a wizard and a warrior and all that usual kind of RPG stuff.
Yeah.
But you're actually exploring a full, gorgeous 3D world, seeing through his eyes. You can go into third person if you want, but that kind of ruins the fun.
Yeah.
It's huge and beautiful and very immersive and addictive, and I would recommend it to any RPG fans.
Excellent. I'm not an RPG fan, so I wouldn't really...
I really do like them because of the lack of skill it requires.
<That's>, I think that's the best quote we could ever get from somebody that plays RPGs.
Yeah. It is true, though, because that is what draws me to them. You start playing the game, and then you come across something that's too tough for you, and you get your ass kicked. And then you go away and you start picking on the little rats and the pixie demons and the things that are really easy.
Yeah.
And you end up killing about 2 billion of those.
Yeah.
And then you come back much tougher for the guy who beat you up. It's like revenge. It's like, right, I'm going to have you now. Because I spent 4 days killing rats just killing you.
You crazy Although, son of a bitch.
Yeah, that is what draws me into RPGs and gets me hooked. But that's not quite true with Oblivion, because it is quite dynamic. It sets dungeons and things to your level.
Yeah.
So if you go into a dungeon, get your ass kicked, bugger off to level up a bit more, you come back and all the people still left in the dungeon are now at the same level as you.
Right. And then
so it is, it's pretty even. So you do have to learn about how to fight and what spells to use and all that kind of good stuff.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Where's the naked women?
What naked women?
Ah, in the RPGs.
I don't think there are any, but I've heard unconfirmed rumours there might be something similar to a hot coffee mod for it, where you can take people's clothes off and look at them.
In a game?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Because the PC version, not the Xbox 360 version, obviously, but the PC one...
Yeah.
It's got a really good compatibility for mods, basically. It really encourages you to write your own mods and install them into the game.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people sharing these little tweaks for the game out there.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, because you've got that whole community atmosphere sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic, and that'll extend its life by years.
Yeah.
And someone was on some message board that I was geeking out and reading, and they were saying, there's a nude patch and stuff like that, and I bet Jack Thompson's already started writing letters and filing lawsuits.
Really?
Well, yeah, but they didn't have any links. A couple of people said it, but they could have just been the same person having a laugh.
Yeah.
So, you never know.
Silly billies.
That's pretty much all I've been up to lately, playing Oblivion.
I can see you've got some outrage on that one.
Well, yeah, the outrage that's actually on my X-Fire signature isn't entirely accurate, because that only logs the hours you've done while X-Fire's been logged in.
Yeah.
And I've played another 2 days without X-Fire. So X-Fire says I've done 12, 13 hours. It's actually closer to 42.
Damn.
And that's since Friday.
Sickening.
Yeah. I have no life.
Yeah.
But so I do have a +5 sword of orc bashing, so there.
Oh, I love it when you talk orc. So, you're looking forward to the Birmingham trip?
Yeah, it looks like it's going ahead. Hyper's got some stuff going.
Hyper in it.
Yeah. He posted in the forums today and said, I've got a minibus.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that'll sort us out.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
I bet he just found it somewhere. I found the minibus. It was parked, so nobody was using it, and we took it.
It's probably an actual London bus.
Yeah.
Out of the depot.
I swear, Governor, there wasn't a driver in the seat. I did the squatter's rights.
That'll be cool though if we go ahead with that. we just got to get the prices and get the confirmed people who want to join us.
Yeah.
Divvy it up between the amount of people and see what's going on. But yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think the most important thing is... sorry, 1 second.
Cool.
I don't know, like... 3 drops. Thanks. Anyway. what was I saying? Yeah, if the most important thing is now really to get the word out, and the word can be spread. Obviously, tomorrow we'll have a 2600 meeting, and we can let everybody know that this thing's going on, if they're interested in going to visit our forums and all that kind of stuff. So we've got to get the hardcore to actually, you know, go up there and say, right, I'm going, to actually fucking turn up on the day. Because, you know, it's going to pay off for everybody if there's more people.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it would be more of a laugh as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So spread the word, good brother. And even if there's people at the meeting who don't want to sign up to the forums, because there are crazy people in the world.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we'll try and get a rough cut of the numbers or something. So yeah. It'll be like, you know, so-and-so's going, but it's not on the forums.
Yeah.
This guy's going, but it's not on the forums. So we'll get a forum count plus X from the usual group.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
So, it's good old LucasAid with his hard news hounding ways. I love the little comments that he writes at the end in Amber. They're the best.
He's always right on the money as well with those comments.
So, yeah, I was saying he should be on the show with those kind of comments.
Yeah, too right.
But then who would we have writing the news?
Trevor McDonald. He's a big fan. In the
tonight,
street, asked me for a T-shirt.
On Hacker Voice Radio with Trevor McDonald. Dum, dum, Bong. Dum.
He's been knighted, hasn't he? A few years ago.
Has he?
Sir.
Sir. Yes,
call him Sir Trevor
McDonald. I thought he was dead at one point.
No. Yeah. I don't think he is.
He's getting on a bit though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been in the news forever.
Yeah, he was in the news before news was even news.
He invented news.
Yeah. Today, in the news, is...
Fire was invented.
News. It was invented.
There's a cool story here. I've been checking out some of the links that it leads to. It's one of LucasAid's news updates.
Yeah.
It's called Get 2 Million Page Hits and I'll Do a 3 in the Bed.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to love
that. Cool.
Girlfriends, beware. If you're going to taunt your boyfriend with not measuring up in the website department, do not under any circumstances offer to engage in a sexual liaison with him and another woman if he does, after all, rise to the occasion. Yeah, basically, it leads onto a website called helpwinmybet.com, where there's a lovely little story about a guy who had an argument with his girlfriend, and he said, you know, any idiot could set up a website and get millions of hits. You know, it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
And she said, no, this cannot be done. Don't be so foolish. So, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. So they had a bet, and he even signed a contract about it, where if he manages to set up his own website with no help from anyone and gets 2 million hits by April the 1st, 2007, she'll have a three-way with him. Mm. Her, another girl and him all in the bed romping around. If he doesn't manage to do it, he has to wear a T-shirt saying, my girlfriend was right and I'm an idiot for a whole week. They signed the contract at the end of February this year.
Yeah.
And I think yesterday, April the 5th, he actually hit 2 million.
Whoa.
So he's done it already. I checked the count and it's already up to 2.7. apparently his girlfriend's conceded defeat.
And she's eating carpet.
as we speak. There wasn't any updates on the sex part of it, but it is quite recent updates, because it was only yesterday, I think, that he passed the 2 million mark, and he went way past it, and it's already rising, and it's still out there getting more and more hits.
Yeah.
So, good on you.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Yes. That is the most geekiest thing I've heard in a while.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
That comprises sex, threesome, and internet hits in the same fucking sentence! Yes! Oh, come on.
I knew HTML skills would come in handy one day.
Yeah. A simple counter and a person. Come on, do it for the lads. Well, guess who stepped into IRC? Our good friend, 10NIX.
Hey, Onyx.
Boyfriends make you fat. Moving in with a boyfriend causes women to eat unhealthily and put on weight. But the opposite is true for men. Those long-term health benefits when they move in with a female partner. Dietitians at Newcastle University said both partners try to please and impress one another during the honeymoon period, and so change their dietary habits to suit one another. But I think it's that women like to let themselves go once they move in with a man, because they know they've captured the feast.
They've bought the cow.
They've bought the cow. They don't have to milk it anymore. And you can hear the mad ramblings of a woman in the background. Here we go.
I can hear you getting told off.
I'm not cooking for you then. I cook tonight. You can cook for yourself from now on.
Pizza Hut.
Yeah, you go buy your Pizza Hut.
While she scoffs down ice cream.
Excuse me, who else is eating a bowl of ice cream?
I'm eating diet ice cream.
Diet ice cream?
Yes, it has more bubbles in it. I'm joking. Anyway, before she throws anything at the back of my head,
before you are killed?
Let's move swiftly on to the next story, which is...
Which is what?
I don't know, I was waiting for
you. You wanted me to step in there, eh?
Yeah.
Help
me, brother.
Help me while I get my ass kicked. Did you do a story yesterday about Apple running Windows XP on their machines?
Fuck.
No. Well, Apple have now released an official program called Boot Camp,
right,
which lets the Intel-based Apple machines run OS X, whatever it is,
uh-huh,
and also Windows XP on there as well.
Awesome.
I think, let me just find this. Yeah, it's down at the bottom of the story. The release of Boot Camp comes only weeks after two hackers managed to get Windows XP running on an Intel-based Mac themselves. These pair won $13,000 prize money for their trouble.
Yep, that's true. We did run that story before, but yeah.
Cool. I don't know if Boot Camp is based on their work or something like that, but...
You'd imagine so, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, Mac shifting over to Intel, now they're running Windows XP. Has the world gone mad?
The bridge is finally closing.
Yeah.
Mm. Big.
I bet that's because, you know, Microsoft donated a chunk of Apple, they're finally getting something back out of it.
Yeah.
That's probably an order came down from the top.
They're finally shaking the Apple tree. Now, put that...
put that in your pipe and smoke it.
There's another quote. You like them apples?
Hey. There's also a cool story here. I sent it to myself and then I lost it, but now I've found it. So it's probably a few days old. Yeah, it is. It's actually it's over a week old, but it's a cool little story. Laptop scam hits bargain hunters.
Yeah.
A gang of con men is tricking people into thinking...
Whoops, sorry. Fucking hell.
Hello?
Yeah, sorry.
Is that you, Jesus?
Hello. Hello, error. Ah, you noob. See, that's the trouble with these things. We can't hear you, but I don't even know if you can hear us. That's
I hear you fine.
Excellent. I think you hear us a little bit too fine there.
Ow.
Yeah, ow indeed.
What the fuck was that?
Reverb.
I'm a noob.
Yeah.
It sounded more like the Big Bang.
Sounded like the end of the world right there. Have you got your microphone right next to the speakers?
Hey, caller, turn your radio down.
Yes, caller, please turn your radio down or we will be forced to shoot you in the head. I've always wanted to say that.
You better wake up and apologize.
I better wake up and apologize. Oh, I get it now.
No, I kid.
How are you doing, my good old man?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Pretty well.
Excellent, well. Sorry to interrupt.
You're most welcome to interrupt.
Well, I just wanted you all to know that I'm at a point now in my new office where pretty soon I'm going to be able to join more regularly.
Okay, so you finally got a chair?
I have a chair? Yes.
I don't have a chair. I've got a chair, but I don't have a table.
Oh, you furniture noob.
I'm trying out the whole lap, keyboard on lap thing.
Keyboard on lap.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Mouse on thigh, keyboard on lap.
Yeah, I built a table.
Ah.
It's amazing.
I hear good old Watson's in the background.
Oh, yes. He's actually outside and not pleased.
Oh.
Shut up! Sorry about that.
Okay. We won't be talking anymore. So, what's been up, man?
Oh, not a hell of a lot. I've been moving into a new apartment and office.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be going around nowadays.
Right.
And, you know, I had to rewire the cable and did a little bit of cable hacking, managed to get my internet access working over here, which is good. And doing some video editing and some other things.
Mm.
I've been on the phone like once a day with 1&1 because they're screwing me around about my account.
Right.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back on the air, man.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be here.
It was a welcome surprise, even though the reverb killed everything.
Well, you know, I had to make an entrance.
Yeah. A minor rip in space and time.
Coming from the sixth dimension, it's Ionix.
So, yeah, we've had the start of Season 4. We're trying to introduce a more kind of tutorial-like, tech-like sort of atmosphere, whereby we do a once-weekly tutorial or talk about certain aspects of technology going into various levels of detail. And obviously more of the good old stuff.
Yeah. Fart cock jokes.
Yeah, lovely.
The classics.
Exactly.
You gotta stick to the classics.
You gotta stick to what you know.
Of course. Is there another way?
So, yeah, have you heard about our trip to good old Birmingham?
I have. Can you guys swing by and pick me up?
Yeah. We'll be there in 20 days.
All right. Just be careful, because I hear some of those bumps on the Atlantic are rough.
Yeah.
And the cops there, they're just killer.
Yeah.
I miss all the good stuff.
Mm. You live on the other side of the pond, that's why.
Well, for it, yeah. It's not my fault I was born this way.
I like that.
Trust me, if I had a choice.
Yeah, people have been asking about you, you know, where's Ionix, where's this and that, you know, what's
he doing? Don't lie to me, nobody misses me.
No, they do, come on.
No.
I can show you the IRC logs.
Alright, email them to me and then I'll believe it.
Okay, we'll do.
I'm around, I'm just, you know, it's been a transition, and I've been kind of lurking a little bit when I can hop on to the internet. I've been looking at the forums. I know what's going on. I just haven't been terribly active. It's kind of hard when everything you have is in boxes or in pieces.
Yeah. I know the feeling.
But finally getting to the point where I'll be able to set up shop again.
Cool.
I've been thinking of instituting a special segment of the Hacker Voice Radio, maybe a weekly segment. I was going to entitle it Let Me Be an American for a Second.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the first thing was, like, with the RFID chips.
Right.
I basically, you know, I've been thinking about it a lot. And, you know, though it is an infringement of privacy, I mean, come on, at least your politicians, like, are up on technology.
Yeah.
I mean, ours are still trying to tattoo people.
Okay.
Be grateful for that, I mean...
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think that would be quite interesting, comparing the two different aspects of politics and laws and liberties.
The asshole form of the American perspective.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So what's going on in the news?
Well, we've got quite a lot of kind of conspiracy theory stuff, we've got quite a lot of privacy stuff. Not much has really changed, it's just kind of developed into different parts of the shit. Bit about file sharing, file sharing is still a body blow to UK music. The British music industry lost more than £1 billion pounds in the past 3 years as a result of people illegally downloading file sharing music over the internet rather than paying for it. Its trade organization said on Thursday, the British photographic industry, PBI, released its data as the International Federation of Photographic Industry, which represented the industry globally. So many of these fucking industries, nobody knows what's coming and going. Launched almost 2,000 cases of legal action in 10 courts across Europe, and in Hong Kong, the British industry lost 414 million last year as a result of legal swapping of music on the internet. Up to from
they call bullshit.
The hell? I mean, we talked about this stuff before. How the hell do they know that? Like, yes, we checked the books and we talked to these pirates. They sent over their books with a nice little R. And they are making over 414 million every year. You know, we got the tax that they sent into, you know, the inland revenue. No, I don't think so. In the last 3 years to and to 2005, total losses amount to 1.1 billion. The BPI said.
Kind of like that logical theorem where you can't prove a negative.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to convince me that, like, those figures are accurate. And beyond which, these studies really don't take into account the fact that I download a lot of music that I would never in a million years pay money for.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, honestly, I have, like, New Kids on the Block and Vanilla Ice on my computer, and there's no way in hell I'm going out and actually paying good money for that crap. It's more of like a nostalgic thing for me.
Yeah.
Not even to mention, I would like to see a study by musicians reaching back to, like, the 1920s to see, like, how much money musicians have lost by being fucked by record companies throughout time.
Mm.
I think that'd be a real interesting figure. Adjust it for inflation, and we can see, you know, how it all plays out.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a complete bullshit story. Another thing
is that $6.2 million last year.
Yeah.
From people stealing my ideas, I swear. I have studies to show.
I lost $3.4 million by people downloading the show for free and sharing it amongst their friends instead of paying for it.
I know. Don't they know that this is a multi-million-dollar industry here, and
yeah,
that they're making a start?
It's called Hacker Voice Corporation.
Hacker Voice International.
Yeah. We own...
Our corporate headquarters is in the Grand Cayman Islands, mostly for tax evasion.
So, HP, Invent, is warning of printer software security threat. HP has warned that the software bundled with some of its printers could allow remote hackers to steal data from users' PCs. A security flaw in the software, which ships with two HP color laser printers, can act as an entry into users' Windows systems when it's running on default mode. The bug is in the toolbox software. Interesting. So they, HP Invent, have invented a lovely little backdoor for our good old friends to pluck around with.
You look at most printer daemons, including the one that's bundled with Windows, and they're kind of bereft with security flaws.
Yeah.
Network printing in itself is kind of a shady aspect anyway.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, like, anything really goes. Hello, Dark Nature.
Hello, hello.
How goes it?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Excellent. I'm a lot late tonight, I'm afraid.
Ah, that's fine. Have you met our good friend Ionix here?
I've not, no. I've not even been able to tune into the stream just yet. I've just literally run in, fired up the PC, and I thought, well, I better just check in, see what's going on.
Cool.
Alright.
Well,
Hello, Ionix.
Introduce you to each other.
Hello, I am Ionix. If you've listened to some of the previous shows, I've been on now and again. Done a couple of things, you know.
I've heard a couple with you on. And, you seem like a nice enough guy. I'm pleased to meet you.
Well, you know, the sound can be deceiving.
Yeah.
He's
actually a real asshole in life.
I don't believe that for a moment.
Yeah, I know it.
He beats me every day. Welcome back, Planet Lave.
Hello.
Yeah.
Patented piss break.
I tried to sneak off and do it covert style, but I assume
you
told our
listeners
how
that
was.
That wasn't very covert of you.
I just figured you might ask me a question while I'm in the bog. Like, hello, planet, hello, and I'm going, that's better.
Oh. Just shaking off, man, I'll be back.
More than three shakes and it's a wank.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow, you've got that down to like an art form.
This is England.
You must have some of that top quality, fine ass porn. Kind of stuff that you just glance at, and the next thing you know, you need to change your pants.
I have a bit of that, yeah.
God,
I could show you some things. I could show you some MPEX. If you...
I thought you were going to say MP3s.
Sorry.
It really does it to me. Really sexy bash scripting. I mean, like, you just pull up one of those script files and, like, net it. Oh, baby. That's right. Push. Push.
I'm more of a pearl man.
Pearl necklace man.
Pearl necklace man.
Well, you're the one with the high heels. I kid.
So what's going on?
Just doing a radio show, I don't know. What about you?
Nothing much. Just sort of checking in, see what's the what.
Oh, I got your email, by the way.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
I'll start working on that as soon as I can.
Good stuff. Listen, I really appreciate, you know, you doing this. You know,
yeah.
It's...
No problem.
Cool. Cool.
So, what else do we have to talk about? We said that yesterday's show ended rather abruptly on a story, which I really wanted to kind of dive into, but we didn't have time. It was about Disney selling cell phones that track children.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Fionix has seen this in his United States of America's news.
Well done on it.
You what,
the 5-year-old cell phone.
Yeah, that track kids that they're on sale from Disney.
Parents can read the GPS chip off the cell phones and know where their children are?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
You sound really far away, man. Hello.
I need to start giving those out to my enemies.
So you can track them. Cool, I can't wait for one of those phones to reach my house. So, I mean, there's loads of stuff that really needs to be assessed here. Is that, you know, first of all, you shouldn't really be giving cell phones to children under the age of 15. And obviously, secondly, you've got a device that is able to track a human being. And it might be without their knowledge or with their knowledge. That's primarily... You know, if you have a child and children have been alive for a very long time and they have never been tracked, and yes, people go missing and children go missing and tragedies happen and all this kind of crap. But at the end of the day, if kids have been fine for such a long time and they've been able to roam the land and be free and all this crap, then why the hell do you need to start tracking them all of a sudden? You know, why do you need to... Why sell this option? And obviously, this isn't a new thing. The U.S. government has been able to track every single U.S. citizen with a cell phone, and I think there's actually a list of these networks that have built in either cell-based tracking
actually,
or GPS tracking.
In the United States of America, by federal mandate, every cell phone manufactured after 1999 has a GPS chip that's hardwired to the battery so that it can be activated even if the phone's off.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think on a slightly more insidious level is that if these phones can be tracked by the children's parents... And knowing that children are not really too savvy, you know, about keeping their details to themselves, then they can be tracked by other people.
Right.
That maybe you wouldn't want to be tracking your children. You know? And that opens up a whole new level of danger.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got... if you've got a whole fucking trackable database of all these children everywhere and what they do, you could create a whole map of repetitive
themes in what children do, and I guess in some way this is just another step into the whole fucked up nature of the world that's happening. And the most funniest thing is that the most fucking Masonic corporation in the whole world, Walt Disney Corporation, is actually doing this. That's the best thing about it. The best thing about the story is that Walt Disney, the most fucked up, most fucking powerful Masonic driven organization, is actually doing this. And you know, I don't have to go into what Walt Disney are fucking responsible for.
Well, in the end, I think it's just because they've got all the cool logos and all the cool characters.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm five and I want a cell phone, like, I sure as shit want the Lion King on that, you know?
Nah, you want something cooler than that, like, I don't know.
You know what I think might be interesting? See, the thing that I've noticed about these phones is they only have, like, four or five buttons, and they can only dial numbers that have been, like, programmed in by the parents. So, wouldn't it be interesting to, like, take 1-800-SEX-LINES
and program,
program it in and start handing these things out on the playground?
Yeah.
Actually, I think that these phones, I was looking at a picture of it on the...
It's got a little mermaid on it. How could it be bad?
Well, there you go. No, I was just saying, I was looking at these cell phones on the BBC News site, and as far as I can tell, they're full-featured cell phones. They can dial whoever you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the ones that I've seen were only had, like, presets.
No, that was for toddlers. That was for really, really young kids.
Oh, that's right. That's a three-year-old model.
Yeah, yeah. So they're
I think we should get it fucking over with and have cell phone implants behind
just
our
have,
ears.
Yeah, just fucking chip everyone at birth.
It's going that way anyway. We might as well get it over with. Then we can worry about that. Next thing you know, people walking around in tinfoil hats.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I'd never leave home without it.
That's just my kind of crazy.
Hey, listen, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
Yep.
The goddamn right.
So
now, see,
sorry. At 5 years old, I can't think of, like, more than two people at any given time that I'd want to call. One would be home, and the other would be, like, my grandparents. Like, what are we doing? Like, why does a five-year-old need a cell phone?
Exactly.
I mean, for real. Whatever happened to a tin can with string?
Yeah.
Well, see, I worry a lot about this this whole thing of... It seems that somebody wants to get us all connected as much as possible in as many ways as possible. There's lots and lots of drive to get everyone connected to their cell phones, and blogs are being pimped out to hell all the time. It's almost as if that if you have any aspirations to privacy in any way, or not to be connected, then you arouse suspicion amongst the masses. It's almost, it seems that you're being set up that way now. That if you want to keep yourself to yourself in any way, then you must have something to hide. You know, I mean, there's a European directive whereby, I think it's by 2010.
All right, I have a gentleman here.
Uh-huh.
It goes by the handle Wolf. He was just saying something about the pot calling the kettle black as far as hackers and things, and you must understand this is not a technophile as we are, but I think he has an interesting point to make, and if it's all right, I'd like to allow him to make it.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Who's to say a five-year-old can't have a cell phone? When is a nine-year-old better? Is a 12-year-old?
That's an interesting question.
Oh, isn't this the case of the pot calling the kettle black, that you're wondering about information moving around? and being hacked into?
Well, you must understand that hacking is not really about hurting people, and the aspect of hacking is hacking in the vulgar sense. Essentially, the press and the popular media need a handle to hang on criminals of a type that would use computers. For example, if you run into a bank with a shotgun, they don't call you a shooter. They call you a bank robber. Mm. If you rob the money from the computer from the same bank with your computer, they don't call you a bank robber. They call you a hacker. As somebody that's interested in computer security, and someone that likes to write software and hack around with computers, I often get asked by people, could you transfer money into a bank account for me, or could you, theoretically, do something with a credit card, or could you? I say, well, if you want someone to do that, you're probably looking for a criminal, which is not what I am. I'm a hacker. The original hackers were the MIT Railroad Club. And they coined the term hacker because they like to hack on their computers. Before that, the press, your journalists, were called hacks because they would hack away at stories. And once it came to light that it was possible to use telephone networks to access your banking systems and transfer cash using, there was that simple exploit where there was little bits of money left over from transactions and those little bits of money could be diverted. The media needed a handle, and of course the MIT Railroad Club, they were calling themselves hackers, and the press said, well, we'll call them that, because they call themselves hackers, and it kind of stuck. You got to remember that that people like to, give it a name, if you know what I mean. The enemy needs a name all the time, and hacker was just convenient. Although, in truth, that's not...
What we're looking at here is a public misconception of what a hacker is.
That's exactly right.
A hacker is somebody who has innovative and new uses for already made technology, or somebody who takes a technology that's there and improves upon it in a way that is both innovative and artful.
That's
and then
exactly
we have
right.
The media definition of hacker, which are malicious criminals who break into people's data. And what my friend Wolf here needs to know is that we're upholding the second definition and not the media primary definition in what a hacker is.
And like all things, the skills that we learn and like to build upon can be used for both good and for evil. For example, a policeman might come to your house and say, you've left your front door unlocked, and someone might be able to get in there and have all your stuff off you. It doesn't mean that he's going to do that, but he knows that it can happen. Quite often, the local police force will run, home safety road shows where they'll tell you all about not leaving your dustbin near your windows and not leaving your ladders in the shed where people can get at them, and they'll explain ways that people, are able to burgle your house. And it seems that these policemen know a lot about breaking into your house, and they know a lot about breaking into your cars. I mean, you could say that they're well equipped for robbing all your stuff off you, but they've chosen to be policemen. If you understand what I'm getting at.
So effectively, they're using what could potentially be criminal skills to do good things with them, and I think that's basically what what really defines you as a hacker is your own personality. You may have vast amounts of criminal knowledge that you could do quite a lot of bad things with and a lot of damage for either personal gain or revenge or whatever. But if your mindset is a positive one, one for creation, not destruction, then that's how you seek your own path. Now, that's not to say that there is also, you know, there's so many different aspects to the hacker personality. You've got these very young 13, 14-year-old kids that have just reached the power of downloading programs that are able to go out and poke through holes, through ports, and bring down services. And then you have very, very advanced hackers that will go out there and do things for money. And then you have these hackers that work in various ways with the intent of potentially doing something criminal, but also doing this criminal thing to prove a good point and to do something good. And they may be called hacktivists and whatever you want to, you know, coin a term for each person. You know, the media loves to discriminate all sides of it, you know.
It's just because, you know, hackers who actually look for flaws, find them, and alert, you know, the world to that fact that they exist.
Yeah.
They get a bad name because, like, why would you be looking into these sort of things? Why would you be doing this? Of course, you would be looking... Shut up! You would be looking into them to do damage, of course. I mean, isn't that human nature? And we get caught up in this whole cycle, especially with the news, where evil hackers did this, Nigerian scammers who have been grouped in with hackers, despite the fact that they have, like, rudimentary skills in the English language, let alone hacking.
Yeah, it really does. It's disgraceful.
Yeah.
However, it's part of our responsibility, as I see it, to help educate the you know, those that maybe don't know the difference. You know, in what we do. Because ultimately, those that would use whatever limited hacking skills they have, or, you know, whatever limited hacking programs they're able to download off the internet to pull off a particular exploit, they face relatively short gains, really. Eventually, what they do will come back to them, and they'll end up paying for it in one way or another.
Yeah,
what we do, the games, I believe, are much longer term.
Yeah, I think it all boils down to the community aspect of things, because once you get separated into different kind of, if it's just a 13-year-old there with these, you know, fucking John Draper or whatever. You know, listening to freaking and trying to get some free long distance calls, or if he's whacking away at some encrypted access point, there's not a lot of respect to gain. And I think the biggest thrill of being a hacker is being known and being respected, or being actually somebody that is not a sense looked up to, but that people understand that you're there and that they know, because I think that's what really makes it as sense. And some of these hackers go down path of actually going around fucking shit up, and that's how they get known, for being an idiot or going to prison or something like that. And then you have people like, you know, you've got
Iron Geek,
exactly, and Strong Carson.
Iron Geek hacks everything.
Yeah.
Never once broken into a remote system.
Exactly, and that's a fucking fantastic example of somebody who has, by their own admission, become very popular and very famous by doing what they do, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, this is exactly what we kind of do, is radio show doesn't have anything to do with hacking, but it's what we do is we talk, and this is another way for, you know, the voices of a hacker to be able to be heard. is by these, you know, daily radio shows and sort of things like that. And obviously everything that spins off from that, the private projects that we run, the forums and all that kind of stuff, it's just another product of it. But you could just sit there and try these things out by yourself, but there's very little short-term gain. And that's why kids get sucked into this thing. Why? Because they're very immature. And you have to place a lot of responsibility on these kids too soon. I think that's why you get a lot of these script kiddies, is that they don't quite understand what they're doing, but they think they're really cool. And
because they can download a program that somebody else wrote.
Yeah.
Or download an exploit that somebody else wrote as a proof of concept and use it in a way that it was never intended.
Yeah, and
it's not hacking.
Exactly, and that's the thing that really distinguishes these various systems. And I mean, somebody could really write a whole fucking, you could get a fucking PhD for if somebody wrote something about, you know, the whole culture of hacking, because it's just so diverse, It's just gigantic in its own sense. Is that there's so many sub-levels and subcultures and spin-offs and things relating to that, and how somebody got started to go into that, and white hat, you know, fucking gray hat and black hat and all that crap. It's that it all rolls into one big ball of where you are right now in your life, what you want to achieve, and who's coming with you. You know, that's basically what it all rolls down into.
Well, certainly, and I would say, going back to the wanting to be famous thing and what have you, it is, I believe, a fundamental part of the human condition that everybody wants to achieve some level of significance and, notoriety. I mean, that's why we live in an age where celebrity is the ultimate goal. You know, we have people who are famous just for being famous.
Yeah.
And so these kids that are able to, run a simple exploit and, pwn somebody, they suddenly achieve what they perceive as power, but they have no... no conception yet of the consequence of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they've been led by, a daft movie that they've seen on the television, or, they've basically been led by the nose into it, and they've not been really made aware of the consequences. Because, let's face it, when I was a young kid, I didn't believe that you could get into a lot of trouble for a lot of the things that I did, because, well, I wasn't of an age where I was criminally liable, criminally responsible, and
you always tested authority.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it's what kids do, isn't it?
It's just a natural part of growing up.
But, certainly, yeah.
You know, I think you're very right there, whereby you state that the human nature is to leave a mark. And if you go back thousands and thousands of years, back in the days of when men and women were running around in, skin fur dress, and they were bashing away at rocks, they did cave paintings and stuff. They didn't do that crap because it looked nice and it made the cave, match their furniture. It was because they wanted to leave their mark, and they wanted to have some sort of impression on nature, on the physical world, of their own existence, a reflection of their own psyche, as it were. And I think that's basically what man has been doing for many, many years, either procreating or something. And when you have these groups of hackers going around, they're defacing these websites and placing up their own little handprint, as it were. That's exactly what men have been doing, but in different ways.
Well, humankind has, the only ability, we're the only animal on the face of the earth that will come to a pond that is completely still, like mirror-like, and just toss a rock in it
Yeah.
For no other reason than to change the face of that pond.
Yeah.
It's an aspect of human nature. And as far as, like, the hacking goes and things, with great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
And that's going to be lost on a 13-year-old.
Yep.
But that's also the thing that gets the media coverage.
Mm.
You know, nobody proclaims, you know, well, I mean, some people do. They're mostly hackers. But, like, take Steve Wozniak. Nobody ever arrested him for hacking together the first personal computer. Well, maybe not the first, but the first mass-produced, you know, personal computer.
Yeah.
No, it's a sad thing, really, that also people don't really remember you for the good things that you do, unless you're a major, you do major good, like you're the Dalai Lama or something.
Yeah.
It's very rare at work that people, I'm saying at work as an example, but people don't remember if you've done something good for very long. You might get a pat on the back and a well done. Mm. But that doesn't really stick in their minds. But the first time you screw up and you delete a database or something, for example.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to stay with you for the rest of your career, isn't it?
Yes.
You know.
Thanks for bringing that up.
have I inadvertently stumbled into a...
No, I'm just fooling around.
Ah, really?
But I've got to say, we've got to end the show because we've just stepped over the hour mark, and I don't want it to go over, seeing as, you know, everything else that we say from now on, anybody listening to us from DDP or wherever we are syndicated on won't be able to hear this. So,
our syndication is limiting our time.
Precisely. So we've got to close everything off.
The problems of fame.
Yeah, exactly. And from everybody in the studio,
be able to do like 3-hour show.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody gave a fuck because nobody was listening to us.
Yeah.
Now that people actually care about this stuff, we've got to fucking, you know, cut it down. I mean, come on, you think you want more if you want, I don't know. These things work in very mysterious ways. Anyway,
thanks for your $0.
Yeah, thank you for your $0. We love you long time, every day, for an hour.
But only an hour.
Only an hour. You don't pay us enough. So it's a good night for me.
And me.
And me.
Good night, all.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
And play nice.
Yeah. Don't smoke too much crack.
Just enough. Good. To już moi drodzy, beat track.